As we said at the beginning of the reading, Deuteronomy chapter 30 brings us to the end of the life of Moses. The Israelites are now standing beside the River Jordan. Their 40 years in the wilderness, wandering through it, have come to an end. Their time of sin, their lack of faith, those reasons that kept them out of the promised land. A whole generation by this stage has passed away. There will only be two that left Egypt that will enter into the promised land of Canaan, Joshua and Caleb. The great leader himself, Moses, the one that God brought down into the land of Egypt to deliver the people. He has led them so well through the wilderness, but yet for his own lack of faith in those occasions, he will not actually enter into the promised land. Chapter 31 in the verse 2, it reminds us, even through his own words, I am 120 years old this day. It's very easy to split Moses' life up into three sections. You have his 40 years in the palace. You have his 40 years in the wilderness. You have his 40 years up as a shepherd in Midian. And then you have his 40 years in the wilderness leading the Israelites. And he has been faithful. This man of God, year after year in the wilderness, he has been faithful to the people of Israel. He has been faithful to their needs. Time after time, he has stood before Almighty God and he has represented the people and he has prayed for the people and he has sought mercy for the people. His concern year after year has been for the salvation of the children of Israel. His concern as he led them through the wilderness, as he led them time after time, his concern was that these people need to be saved. Hence we see him praying and praying and praying. You think of the time when the Israelites were sinning and there was that plague that came through the camp. And Moses went and he prayed to God and the Lord told him, lift up the serpent in the wilderness and tell the people all they have to do is look and live. And in this last sermon which Moses preaches, once again, one thought and only one thought is upon his mind. Inform and preach to these people that they need to follow God. Remind these people one last time in your final sermon before you die. Remind them again, children of Israel, you need to turn away from the world. You need to turn away from all the lusts and all the desires in your own hearts and you need to follow after God. In the verses 15 to 19 especially we want to look at tonight. For as you read through Deuteronomy 30, there is a number of occasions when he says the words, this day. And it's in verse 15, verse 16, verse 18 and verse 19. That we want to pay particular attention to tonight. And if you're looking at a title for this sermon, a simple heading would be the day in which we live. The day in which we live. Verse 15, you have the day of contrasts. Moses says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. This verse we are presented with the two sides. There is good on the one hand, and there is evil on the other. There is life, there is death. Spiritually speaking, there is white and there is black. See, friend, tonight, the simple reality is this: there is no gray area in salvation. There is no middle ground. The Lord states very clearly, there is saved and there is lost. Moses' entire sermon, which spans not only the chapter 30 but the previous chapters as well, it is stating contrast after contrast. In the previous chapters, he highlights there is all the blessings which are to be found in Christ. On the one hand, children of Israel, you can find all the blessings. You can have peace. You can enjoy the promised land. And then Moses highlights the contrast. If you don't follow after God, if you don't obey the word of God, there is the curses. There is all the evils which will come upon you for not following after God. And in this life and in this day in which we live, there is still this very contrast. There is good and there is evil. There is life and there is death. There is sin and there is being saved from sin. Now the devil has tried year after year, generation after generation, to try and rub out the contrast. To try and mix the white and the black and to make that grey in the middle. How many times have you not heard in your own life as you've grown up, people say, well, there's little white lies and then there's big lies. Many times have you not heard of people saying, well, there's small sins and then there's the big sin. And yes, the Lord does distinguish between sin. The catechism which we learn as we grow up, it tells us some sins in themselves and by reason of several aggravations are more heinous in the sight of God than others. But let me tell you, sin is sin and sin takes you to hell. And you will have all the arguments of the day. Time after time, there are people in this life and they try and live their life as they plan it. They will try and make their own way to heaven. They will say, well, I'm not saved. I'm not going to your church. I'm not going to go down the road which you say I have to do. But I will live by my good works. And I hope to get to heaven. But if you've never extinguished the sin and the darkness and the blackness of your heart, if you've never had that extinguished by the precious blood of the Lamb, let me tell you tonight, then you are on the side of the lost. You can't muddy the waters. You can't produce a grey area. There's either saved or there's lost. There's either good or there's evil. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 37 and 27, depart from evil and do good. The evil life which we are all born into. We're all born in sin, we're all shaped in iniquity. You can't get into heaven with that sin still upon your heart. You can't get into heaven without that shed blood of the Lamb being applied to your heart. There is a day of contrast. Notice with me, secondly, not only do we live in the day of contrast, but we live in the day of command. Verse 16. Moses says, in that I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments that thou mayest live. Here Moses, in this verse, is reminding the people of the necessity to follow God. He is reminding the Israelites that everything that they need to live is set out before them. Of course, after the Israelite people had left Egypt, they crossed over the Red Sea. They moved into Sinai Desert and they came to Mount Sinai itself. And Moses ascended that mountain and he met with God. And the Ten Commandments were given to the Israelites at that time. Those moral law, those guidelines and those laws that the people were to follow and how to live and how to worship God. They didn't have the 66 books which we enjoy and we can read for ourselves. They didn't have Genesis to Revelation. Rather, they had the Ten Commandments. And Moses here in this chapter, he is encouraging them, this day I command thee, follow God, walk in his ways and keep his commandments. And I ask a question this night to sinner and to saved alike. Do we live by the word of God? Do we follow his commandments? Do we adhere to the Ten Commandments which were given to the Israelite people? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Tell me, Christian, non-Christian alike tonight, is God first in our lives? Do we serve God and have him as number one? Or is our job more important? Is our priority in life the worship and the adoration of God? Or is it making money? Do we have God as first, or is it our hobbies and our pastimes? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Tell me, do we give the Lord's name its proper place? You might say, well, of course we do, we're Christians. Let me tell you, sadly, there are Christians in this land tonight and they take the Lord's name in vain without even a thought. Do we hold the Lord's name in the place in which it should be held? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Tell me, how did you spend your afternoon? This is a day which the Lord has given us, this one day out of seven, to publicly and privately worship his name. This one day in seven which we are come aside from our normal works and our normal cares in this world to rest. Tell me, have we rested this day and have we spent time on God's word meditating? Have we left aside all the things of this life and all the cares and all the other worldly things that take up our lives? Or did we spend the afternoon in the TV, in the Xbox, in the internet, in the shops? Child of God and sinner alike, how many times throughout Scripture are we not given the commands to follow and to adhere to? And sinner, what about the commands that we find in Scripture to repent of our sins and to turn to Christ? Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And yet time after time, you've maybe been in this church numerous times on a Sunday night. You've heard the gospel being preached. You've heard the exhortation, come to Christ. And yet you say no, but Christ is commanding you in his precious word, call upon me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Tell me, have you come to Christ? The Lord is standing with open arms. The Lord this day is able to save, but yet time after time you walk out the door and you say, not today. And yet the Lord's commanding you to turn to him and to repent of your sins. There is a day of command. Then the verse 17 into 18, there is the day of caution. Verse 17, it says, if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Now Moses in his message is very clearly warning the Israelites, if they turn away from God. Moses has laid it all out to them. And he says to them, this is the command of God. If you reject it and you go your own way, this is the reality. You will perish. You will not survive. You will not live. And friend, tonight in this meeting, just as we have given the day of command and we have given the commands from Scripture to repent of your sins, then we must follow on by giving the caution. That if we do not turn from our sins, that if we do not turn away from our worldly lusts, and if we go on the way that we are doing and we try and pave our own path to heaven, I have to be very honest, you will perish. There is only the one door into heaven. There is no tunnels into heaven. There is no holes in the wall into heaven. There is no back entries or other doors. There is one door. There is one way. And friend, if you pave your life and you go your own way and your decision is to ignore God, to ignore the Word, if your decision is this night to ignore the cross and everything that Christ accomplished upon that cross for you, if your decision is to rebel, and God has very clearly stated in His Word, the end is perishing. The end is hell. And there is coming a day, it records for us in Revelation, when this world will be wound up and the devil will be cast into hell. And each and every single person who rejected Christ will be cast into hell with them. This is the day of caution, the day of warning. There is a hell to shun. There is a heaven to gain. Tell me, where are you heading tonight? Has there been that time in your life when you have come to the realization of your state and of your condition? When you came to the realization that the Word of God is truth? When you came to the realization that the Son of God left the splendors of glory, came down into this earth and died for the sins of His people? Came to the realization that there was no way into heaven but through Jesus Christ Himself? And you have fled from the wrath to come. And you have fled to Christ. Tell me, has there been that day in your life? Has there been that time? As we mentioned at the start, all that generation, the first generation out of Egypt, they perished. They all died in the wilderness. And today, sadly, there's still many, many on the road to hell. And there's still many, many are perishing. Now the road to hell tonight is full. It's full of men and of women who they're walking down that road to hell with their good intentions. They're walking down that road with their false religions, with their cults, with their self-importance. But there's not one person walking down the road to hell with Christ. Flee from the wrath to come. Are you on the road to hell tonight? Are you in the road to heaven? Notice with me, fourthly and finally, the last day that we will mention, that's found in the verse 19. It is the day of choice. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Moses, coming to the end of his sermon, he comes to the point in his sermon and he turns to the people and he says, children of Israel, the choice is now yours. I have laid out all of the blessings to be found in Christ. I have laid out all the curses which will come upon you if you reject Christ. And Moses very clearly is saying, I cannot make the decision for you. I do not decide where you go or what you do. That choice is yours. And this day in which we live is still the day of choice. It is your choice whether or not to reject the gospel. It is up to you tonight to decide, do you walk out the door without Christ or do you walk out the door with Christ? Do you walk out the door a sinner or do you walk out the door a sinner saved by grace? And I plead with you this night, choose life. We still live in the day of grace. We still live in the day of choice. But as Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, the very well-known verse, now is the accepted time. Now is a day of salvation. Now up and down this land tonight, and you can have conversations with many, many different people. And maybe you've had those conversations with people. You've been encouraging them to come to Christ. You've been encouraging them to get saved. And they say, not yet. Not today. Later, I'm too young. I'll do it later in my life. Not today, I have so much on, but maybe next week. Maybe the week after, maybe whenever somebody is coming round, I'll talk to them. I have friends who are Christians. I'll talk to them. I'd rather talk to them instead of to you. Not today. You know, as I came in the door this morning, my brother who was at the door, he was asking me, had I heard about a lady who was buried in our Hillsborough congregation? She was in her early 30s, died of cancer. I received a phone call a number of months ago. You're here this morning, you will have heard me saying about the brain department in work. One of the guys that was in that brain department, as we called it, after I had left the company, he left not too long after me. He set up his own wee company, and he was doing quite well in the company. The business was going all right. His whole life was planned out for him. His father was a sheep farmer. His father was getting on in years, and he said, the plan was that whenever he retired, Ronan would take over the sheep farm and then have the business as well. Money would be good, everything would be fine. This man was 38. I got a phone call on a Sunday evening from another work colleague asking, had I heard about him? I said, no. And he said, and he recounted the entire story. Man of 38 in the Sunday afternoon went up his father's farm. They lived up in the glens of Antrim. And simply every Sunday afternoon he would always walk up the farm, up to the fields to check the sheep and make sure everything was fine. Make sure all the sheep were there and there was no problems or nothing like that. That young man of 38 years of age, he walked up and he never walked down. They found his body in the fields. They did an autopsy on his body, 38-year-old man. They did an autopsy on his body. And then that piece of paper coming back from the medical examiners, they had to state this. Heart is fine. Lungs are fine. Every single organ in his body was fine. He never smoked, he never drank. And so at the bottom of the page, they wrote the letters SDS, Sudden Death Syndrome. Now you bring anybody in that is from a background of evolution. You bring anybody in from the scientific world and you get them to explain how a body that is perfectly functioning, the heart is strong, the brain is strong, the lungs are fine, but yet a man just drops dead. They can't do it. I can explain from God's word what SDS is. It is appointed unto man once to die. It doesn't matter how strong your body is. It doesn't matter how fit and healthy, how many miles you walk in a day. It doesn't matter what you eat and how safe you are in your vegetables and all of the fruit that you eat. Let me tell you this, there is coming a day and God will say, time's up. And how do you know it's not today? I don't say that to scare you into some confession and some belief. I'm simply bringing before you the reality of life. And we know not what a day will bring forth. We know not when our appointed time is. I have sat in houses and in hospitals with people, and you talk to that person and their health is such a state that they shouldn't be alive. I remember going to my boss a number of years ago and telling him at that time, I says, look, I will be off at some stage over these next number of months. There's 5 elderly in my family and they're all going to be dead soon. You know, the majority of them are still alive today. One of them is a rotted heart. His heart is completely gone. And yet he's alive. Because God hasn't said time's up. And yet a 38-year-old man who has got a strong heart and who has every organ in his body functioning as it should, but yet he's in a grave today. This is a day of choice. Choose life. Don't leave it to next week. Don't leave it for the Reverend Crane to come next Sunday. Because what if the Reverend Crane's next appointment with you is actually placing you in Mother Earth? This is a day of choice. Choose between life and death. Choose life. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening.